Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, August 13th, 2025, called to order at 12 noon. And so, Carla, could you go ahead and do roll call, please?
Yes. Allison Doggy? Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Blake Houghton?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner?
Here.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
J.J. Lamb?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Julie Rigoli?
Present.
Kathy Kubisch?
Here.
Ken Scoville?
Present.
Maro Trejo?
Here.
Perfect. Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Steve Grady?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Hagyard? One, two, three. 15.
That's what I have too. Perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hold on just 1 second. All right. Item 2 is the land acknowledgement. Commissioner Lozano, could you do that for us?
Sure. Thank you. On behalf of the residents of the city of Tucson, the city of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands of the Tohono O'odham Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 3, which is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 7-16-25 as submitted. Could I have a motion to approve, please?
So moved.
Is that Andrew?
Yep.
Okay, who will second?
I'll second.
This is Courtney.
I'm sorry, let's go with Courtney. Okay. Thank you. Is there any discussion? If not, let's go ahead and call roll for the vote, please.
Okay. Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Present.
Maro Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
15-0.
Okay, so we did not see anyone else join, correct? The two that...
Tim,
hello,
I do see
Alice Sadongi calling in.
Oh, hi, Alice. When did you join?
Just now.
okay, so 12:04, but you missed that vote, correct? That's fine if you did, but we just need to know.
Yeah, I'm here now. I should have told you I was going to be a few minutes late, but I'm here now, so don't count me as absent. I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And I do see Tim Hagyard.
Okay, and Tim, what time did you join? Is he? Okay, let me see if I can see him. There's Tim. Tim, what time did you join? Are you? It doesn't show that you're on mute.
He's on mute.
Now you're on mute.
There he is.
Can you,
1203.
Okay. Okay, so Carla, just go ahead and mark them as not present for that vote. I think
okay,
that's
so
fine.
15-0 then.
Yeah, so we're good. Mm-hmm. All right. Item four is chairperson summary of current events. I don't have anything other than the things I'll mention during various agenda items. So just to move things along. Item five is recently posted subcommittee LAR/minutes. Again, you can access posted minutes here. Also through that link, you can see things that, that drafts were drafts, finals, various things. And if you have any trouble accessing this, please ask Carla or me or Anna to help you figure that out. Okay, item six is removal appointments to commission subcommittees, working groups, and so on. I have none at this time. Okay, item seven is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 7A is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. Desiree, can you fill us in?
Sure. Good morning, or good afternoon, commissioners. So we have a couple updates. I'll start with our Section 106 reviews. We currently are in the consultation period for a project, an affordable housing project at South 10th Avenue. We also recently wrapped up the consultation period for the Danny Lopez Park Damage Assessment Report. However, even though we passed that period, we didn't receive comments, so we're doing outreach to the Tribal Historic Preservation officers just to see if they have comments on that damage assessment report. Also, I wanted to mention we will be having middle housing public meetings on the draft middle housing code changes in Tucson. So those meetings will happen August 26th, August 27th, and the 28th, and I will send you all an email that went out recently publicizing those meetings. But they're a combination of virtual and in-person options. Tomorrow at our PRS meeting, we have the 27 North Stone Avenue item on the agenda. So this is the proposed demolition of a contributing building in the downtown historic district as part of the proposed expansion of the Fox Theater. So that meeting is tomorrow on the 14th at 1 p.m. Also wanted to give you an update on the Capstone Speedway Euclid mixed-use project that's in the Main Gate Urban Overlay District. So this is the one where the five homes, historic homes, were relocated to West University, and then there were two historic homes left on the project site. So we are working, we've been in recent contact with the developer, Capstone, recently regarding the rehab, and they've acknowledged some delays, but they expect to move forward with the rehab of those five homes shortly. We also received a call yesterday asking about, you know, the possibility of adding fencing to the two homes that were left behind on site, due to some concerns about, you know, protection during construction. So we will also talk to them. We'll reach out to them about that. They wanted to give an update on that project. We have been getting some inquiries on that from members of the public. And then last but not least, let me see if he is on here. Is Jason here? We have a new historic preservation lead planner that joined our team a few weeks ago. Not sure if he's on yet. But
I thought I saw him.
Okay.
Let me see. Let's look. No, but
okay. We can come back if there's time, and I know some of you have met him already. But yeah, that's my update.
But it would be nice to introduce him if we can. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, any questions for Desiree? Let's see, I'm looking to see if there's any raised hands. Okay. Ken, go ahead.
Oh, you're muted.
You're on mute. Unmute, please.
I was just wanting to further advance that I drive by there quite a while. I left you the message about, and I saw some pretty heavyweight machinery and things in between the two preserved houses. So they need to do almost like you do a grading fence to try and fence both those off, because it's just waiting for an accident to happen and they could take a chunk out of one of the. So thank you for getting on that.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it to our attention. Appreciate that.
All right, thank you, Ken. Okay, if there's no one else, thank you, Desiree, and we'll move on to 7B, which is Pima County Conservation Lands and Resources, Cultural Resources, and Heritage Preservation. Ian, you are here, hopefully?
I am.
Thank you.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. We have been moving along on the Middle Mile Project. That's the NTIA broadband project, 142 miles around the Tucson Basin. We had, at the end of June, a stakeholder meeting regarding the programmatic agreement that's being developed for this project. We had really useful comments come back. We met subsequent to that with the NTIA and SHPO to amend some of the language, and we expect that programmatic agreement to go out for consultation at the beginning of September with the intent and goal of executing that agreement this fall. So that work continues on, design continues on, and I'll continue to update you on that. With regards to the Mission Garden grant, that is a congressionally delegated spend, that project has just been approved by the NPS and is authorized for construction. We are seeking a grant extension because of the delays that it took under the current administration for the Park Service to review those environmental and docs. But part of that is part of that grant requirement is that the property get listed on the National Register. So Scott has been working very diligently on that nomination and expects it to go to the next HSRC meeting this fall. And as soon as a draft is prepared, I'd be happy to send that to the commission for as a courtesy review. We also have been working really hard on the 250 event with Terry and others. Very excited about that event, and the Conservation Lands and Resources Department will be represented at that event through our environmental education group. So we're really excited about that. We have our quarterly meeting with SHPO come up. By quarterly, it's turned actually into more of a biannual meeting, which we're going to be scheduling for September. It's where we go up to Phoenix, we meet with SHPO, and really kind of update each other on our programs. And then the last thing, and I know we have this as an agendized item later on, but I do need to leave around 1:15, but I think we'll be okay, is Pima County is going to be responding to the Arizona State Museum's intent to raise fees, the revised fee schedule. And we are providing a letter that outlines three different areas. We specifically address three different areas. The first is aligning ASM's fee structure with the purpose of the Antiquities Act, because I think that they've gotten very far away from what the Antiquities Act was intending to do, which aligns perfectly with the county's conservation mandate and mission on the 260,000 acres of land that we manage. The second is the programmatic permitting. There has been a real resistance from ASM to understand the effects that this fee structure will have on public agencies. And so whether ASM would consider a programmatic approach to activities that occur on our conservation lands instead of reviewing every single inventory as a standalone project, whether we could report on a year's worth of inventory efforts in a single report, do site updates and so forth in order to minimize the costs associated with that and the time. And then lastly, just the broader impacts it has on our ability and really the discouragement of being able to comply and discouraging proactive resource management. This is not development. This is proactive stewardship and resource monitoring that triggers Antiquities Act compliance, but now has a significant cost that we're already struggling internally of how we have enough funds to do the work that we need to do on the thousands of archaeological sites that we have. And just to reiterate, we have less than 5% of our conservation lands inventoried, and we have over 2,000 known archaeological sites. So you compound that, you can imagine the world that we have under our responsibility, and we take that responsibility seriously. And so our county administrator is going to be sending that letter that I've drafted, and she's reviewing that this week. So that's where we're at. I can talk a little bit more about ASM once we get there, and what the revised fee schedule looks like and so forth. But any questions?
Yeah, I'm going to start with a comment. Ian, thank you for that comprehensive report. What we've been doing with National Register nominations, because you'd mentioned one earlier in your report, is reviewing them through PRS, and certainly a county one would be courtesy, and just, you know, contact Desiree and copy me maybe when that's ready to go. I think
it's appropriate to do it concurrently with the submission to SHPO and HSRC, I hope?
Sure. I don't see why that would be a problem unless you wanted to have us, you know, before you sent those letters and we just supported it or provided any
little doodads.
Yeah. Because right. I think you might have to submit earlier for HSRC. I'm not sure. Okay,
yes.
Were there any other – I'm looking to see if there are any hands up on the list. And I'm not seeing any. Is that correct? Okay. Thanks so much, Ian. Did Courtney have anything?
Yes. Good afternoon. I just wanted to give you a quick update on the accessory dwelling unit, HB 2928, which the city of Tucson has the equivalent in it's HB 2720. And I believe that we talked last month that the city of Tucson has already dealt with that with their amendments to code. And Pima County is also doing a text amendment before the end of the year to address the accessory dwelling unit. And I've been in close contact with development services staff, and apparently, the text amendment would follow the current process for our cultural resources review, including the historic landmark designation process, that review process. But regardless, I will be reviewing the draft text amendment once they do get it ready to send out, and I can share that with the commission when that happens.
Great, thank you. Any questions on that? Okay, anything on the county reports, Ian or Courtney? Are you good?
I think we're good.
All right, thank you.
We are, okay. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, item 7C is City of South Tucson. Is Joshua Lessie on? No report. Item 7D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. Patrick Hartley, is Patrick available? Okay, no report.
Terry?
Yes.
Could I do an informal report on the City of South Tucson?
Yes, hold on. No, just hold on a second.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, this is not I'm not doing this for Josue, but a couple things. So you may remember earlier this year the Spanish Trail Motel burned down, and then they wouldn't demolish it, the remaining, you know, burned wreckage. And so City of South Tucson sued, and I believe they have demolished it completely. I have talked to Mayor Valenzuela about preserving at least the poles of the sign, because the sign is also equally degraded, and then maybe some of the extant facade. I haven't seen it recently. I think Commissioner Lamb saw it most recently. I believe that they left the sign up, but they did not save anything from the motel, but we're kind of keeping an eye on that. The ideal thing would be to remove the remaining fragments of the sign, because they're considered to be an eyesore, but I think just the poles would be not considered an eyesore, and they could be used for a later restoration if some entity wanted to restore it, or not restore, but recreate some aspect of that in the future. So that's that item. And then also just news, the City of South Tucson recall effort failed. I think that that's going to be good for preservation. I believe that, that their council members are pretty pro preservation, as long as it's equitable and inclusive and is not going to directly contribute to what's the word? I'm sorry.
Gentrification.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So I think that that's pretty good for us. And then another thing in the news is Selena Barajas won her Ward 5 primary, and she's very pro preservation, and she's very aware of the adjacency of Ward 5 to City of South Tucson. So that helps everything, and so that's a good thing. And you remember she was had a leadership role in getting the Latinos and Heritage Conservation Grant. So that's all I had. Thanks for
that update. And I wanted to mention something that the Policies and Procedures Group might want to do. We haven't had participation from DTM for a long time, and we used to have it regularly. That's something you could maybe address in that working group. And also maybe think about talking about anything for City of South Tucson too that could be helpful, like support activities or whatever. We can talk more about that. So, all right. Let's see. So no one else had a comment, or are you finished, Carlos?
Yeah, thanks. I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, we'll move on to item 8, which is commission, subcommittee, other committee, council, commission status reports. 8A is plans review subcommittee. Desiree, did you want to add anything else to that? Are you good?
I don't think I need to add anything. We've had a lot of reviews, so just thank you to the commissioners. If there are any specific questions, happy to answer, but I don't have anything.
Yeah, I really wanted to give a shout out to PRS members, Savannah McDonald, Andrew Christopher, and Joel Ireland. We've had sometimes multiple meetings during 1 week. And so it's, hours of commitment and to do proper reviews. And it's much appreciated by me. And I'm sure it is by Desiree as well. She just thanked us.
Absolutely. We had 2 meetings this week. So, and long ones at that. So I really appreciate your help.
Thank you. Item 8B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard, would you like to report, please?
Hi, this is Tim Haggard. The DNARC Downtown Neighborhood Advisory Council did not meet this month.
Okay, thank you. So you didn't meet in August. Okay.
Correct.
Great. Okay, item 8C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady.
Thank you. I'm just going to turn up my sound a little bit. The Historic Landscape Subcommittee met on Thursday, July 31st, and some of the things that we looked at, or one of the things that we looked at and we're hoping for some more information on, is the Activate El Presidio streetscape. We compared the proposal, or what we had looked at as temporary installations, with the plans, and had questions about one of the shade structures that seems to have a footing system and potentially items that connect to structures. Ken, you have your hand up. Did you want to?
Ken, you're on mute. Can you wait till he finishes with his report?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Hand up early.
Okay.
Thank you. I think it's on this item. Then we have we had an opportunity to meet with Barrio Historico and discuss our recommendations to their HPZ draft design guidelines. And one of the projects that we're working on is a list of parks in the city of Tucson. And so we're looking at four different categories, maybe more, parks with significant historic or cultural resources, those that we know are existing, parks with potential historic resources, including all parks established in 1975 or earlier, that would require further evaluation, and parks less than 50 years old with significant cultural artistic resources, for National Register Criteria Consideration G, and parks established between 1975 and 85, so begin to kind of take a look at that buffer area, which may have significant resources in the future, which would require some evaluation, and then parks with no known historic resources. This will be provided to the Parks Department for their consideration and then hopefully added to their GIS information, which would flag resources that are within or adjacent to historic districts. That is it for now.
Okay. So before I call on you, Ken, when is your next meeting, Steve?
Thank you for asking. I meant to mention that. I have not sent out a poll, but we're hoping to meet on August 28th at 10 a.m. So members who are here, Julie, Blake, JJ, and Helen, please do let me know, especially if that time and day will not work for you. But that is what was discussed at the previous meeting.
Yeah, Blake just did a thumbs up, but I don't see anyone else because I'm not on page 2 of the name. So that would be good. And it'd be great to get me the agenda only because next week is so busy, Steve, with all the activities for, the anniversary of the Presidio's founding. So, okay. So let's go first with Ken and then with Julie.
Hi, Steve. I was walked around there yesterday at the improvement district around Old Town Artisans. And again, first thing, lots of questions still. The south side is where they did a little bit on the north side of Old Town, but the south side on Tejas, they jackhammered the sidewalk and put those permanent footings in for those industrial poles. And I doubt if anybody monitored what was maybe going on, if there were any cracking or anything at the foundation, especially on the inside of Old Town Artisans. It has such an abrupt industrial feel to it. And the little furniture and planter things look like somebody went to Walmart to go shopping for that. It is like it's from another planet. And then the other thing that's interesting, I thought the neighborhood wanted to have a pause, and it's manifest destiny time. Everything's been hauled in there and gotten painted and set up, and it's just like it's become a memorial to why did we spend the money on this? And again, my opinion, but the neighborhood's concerned. And my last thing to say is I would like to see the plans, a copy of the plans that you approved, so would the neighborhood, to see what was actually put in. And somehow I think there was some breakdown in communication or somebody got a good deal on some industrial materials and they went with those. I have no idea what went on.
So it would be helpful to explain as part of our review process. This was a temporary installation, and its temporary nature is part of why our review, how we approach the review, is not a permanent installation. So the impermanence of it, one of the things we requested is a three-year period, a sunset period, or at least a period where there would be further input and discussion as determination as to whether this would go forward. And that is probably the biggest question is whether or not it's permanent or impermanent, because we really reviewed items which were considered permanent very differently than we considered those items that were a temporary installation.
Okay, let's can Julie. I ask Julie what she has, and then we'll go to Desiree.
Julie? No,
It was just very simple to verify that that's a Thursday meeting, right, Steve, on the 28th of August?
It is a Thursday, the 28th of August, correct.
Okay. And I wanted to say something to Ken, because I'm also on that subcommittee. We took a long examination to determine if indeed those footings were permanent or temporary. And a lot of stuff, I think, right, Steve, was going to be referred back to Desiree to go take a physical peek at that. Because we also shared that concern of those, you know, how you describe the Walmart furniture. And there was even a remark that somebody had plugged in or anchored some heavy wires or something into the artisan's stores or, you know, whatever that setup. And so we were going to make a personal trip, but then Steve and Helen would say maybe we should refer this to Desiree so she could check it out because she has more information or the ability to find it.
Yeah.
And that's so, to say.
Thank you, Julie. And go ahead, Desiree. I'm sure you'll fill us in more on this.
Well, I did want to clarify that the installations are temporary. I am not sure. I'll get the kind of the period of, you know, when they're supposed to come out. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I can report that back to you. I just walked by there this morning and I don't see anything attached to, I took some photos. I don't see anything attached to the buildings. It's, you know, it's, they're in the sidewalk and the pipe and the right of way, or off the sidewalk rather in the streets. So yeah, if there are other specific questions, feel free to send them my way. But that basically was what I wanted to clarify, that they are intended to be temporary.
Yeah. And Desiree, you've been attending the HLS meetings when you're able, correct? Cause we copy you on the agenda and so on.
Yeah. I haven't been able to attend those meetings, but I do, get
stay
copied.
In touch with Steve, yeah. And so on. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Anyone? Oh, Andrew, do you have something?
Sir, yeah, I just wanted to say I think it's great that you're putting together that inventory of the parks and categorizing them the way you are. We've had a lot of discussion in PRS, especially around some of the more recent cases like Santa Rita. And so we've had discussions with them about how that assessment and inventory fits into their process, because right now it's happening at the end of a project where it should be happening up front. So I think having this list will be great for them to start to prioritize which parks they, you know, can inventory or should be inventorying. And so if you just keep us aware of when you have that list and when you send it to Parks Department, I think we can continue to help, you know, keep pushing them to incorporate that and to pursue that. So that's awesome. Thank you guys for doing that.
Well, that is great. Before I call on you, Helen, Julie or Ken, did you have something else? We need to let other folks speak. If not, put your hand down.
I just had a follow-up for Desiree on that. On the south side on Teo Street, maybe that's in the right-of-way part of the sidewalk, but the only way to make that out of there is to jackhammer it out again and pour new concrete and reshape the sidewalk. So it's not a temporary installation on that portion of it. There's some done on Washington Street, but it's not near an actual historic wall. It's part of a later addition to enclose the courtyard there. But and my other comment, if they wanted to have people get excited about this for the future, you would think they would have done a better job.
Okay, thank you. All right, Helen, this will be our last comment on this. Go ahead.
I just wanted to explain something about how this is going to work with parks, because basically we've taken the parks list, GIS list, and we're working backwards from that. Once we have this information, it'll go back into GIS, and Jasmine Chan has arranged that this will be part of the park's dashboard, so that whenever anything is done in the park, that will be one of the checks that is made. So we have a We have a red flag system, I guess.
That's great. Thank you. Okay. Ken, did you have something else?
Yes, I have this for Helen. Question for Helen. What is the current status on the bathhouse? I can't remember which park it is, but the bathhouse, which I guess...
Santa Rita Park. Santa Rita.
Okay. What's the current
status? And I think Desiree would have a comment on that.
Yes, so that, so background, for those that may not be aware of the background. So Parks and Recreation has been undergoing a parks improvement project at Santa Rita Park, which is not designated under either local or national register listing. There was a cultural resources survey done. No archaeological underground material was found. There is, however, a building that's older than 50 years old, and the outreach and planning for the park has already been completed. I believe it started somewhere around 2021. It's been in process. Literally the day before the building was going to be demolished, we received an inquiry from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation about the bathhouse, which is and then there's a pool. There's a municipal pool. So it's the city's first municipal pool. It had not been formally surveyed. Parks agreed to hold off on the demo. There was a survey done. The initial finding was that it was ineligible for the National Register. SHPO has since disagreed with that and has said that it is eligible for the National Register as the city's first municipal pool, so under Category A, topic of recreation. So that information has been provided to Parks and Recreation Director and the city manager's office, and it's essentially sitting with them. The most recent public meeting about this, so the item did go to courtesy reviews through Landscape Subcommittee and PRS. It actually went to PRS twice. PRS recommended that efforts be made to retain that building. And that information has also been provided to department and city leadership. It did also go to the Bond Oversight Committee per the request of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. The committee basically did not recommend to retain the building. I think the main feeling was there was a lot of outreach that was done. Plans have already been approved. It went to mayor and council already and had approval. And so now it's essentially, a decision for city leadership. There isn't a requirement that it be saved, that it be preserved. It doesn't have any designation on it currently, but that's the status. I can provide updates, either here or, if any of the committees would like to have the item come back, happy to coordinate that.
Desiree, I need a little clarification. Was this trying to nominate, or did the actual physical pool qualify and the bathhouse, or just the bathhouse, or what is the status of what was looked at and reviewed?
I believe that's a good question. I believe it was the pool and the bathhouse together.
I could see how the swimming pool, and it could be marked or not, or recognized in a different way. But I think the bathhouse, and I looked at that building, it has quite a few details and vintage and all these things are correct, would be a nice addition to whatever they want to do in the future. And maybe it could be adapted, reused again as another bathhouse if they want to put a new pool. And then they could put tile at the bottom of the pool, marking the footprint of the original swimming pool. There are a lot of creative ways to do it. I've got a call in with the city manager's office now about another issue. And I'll certainly put that, and I'll call the city manager again today as a private individual, not necessarily representing the historical commission.
Thank you, Ken.
This needs to be saved.
Okay. JJ, this has to be our last comment on this. Go ahead.
Okay. It seems like this is an opportunity for a letter from the commission, one, and two, I would just advocate that saving that building provides an excellent opportunity for Parks and Rec to tell the story of this kind of recreation amenity for the community of Tucson and the city of Tucson. It's really an important part of that history.
Okay, and we do this letter. We've already done, you know, we've already done the PRS review of this and said that. So that needs to, the letter needs to incorporate that because it's out of sequence. You know what I mean? It's like, and we've already spent, I mean, I'm happy to entertain a motion to do this. But I'm not sure, you know, Desiree, who would we send this to? I mean, or is it, it's clearly the Bond Oversight Committee isn't going to change their mind. So are we hoping that the city manager's office and the mayor's office are going to do something about this? Is that where we stand? Desiree?
That, let's say that's a question for the commission.
No, but I mean, do you really feel that, is that who the letter should go to? Because is that where the decision sits now to do something about this? Like, yes. For mayor and council? So, okay. So if you want to go ahead and make a motion, JJ, please do so. And then we'd have to work on who the letter goes to and what we hope to accomplish by this letter.
Okay.
Terry, okay. I can add a little perspective here. Is that just as another thing, there used to be the pump house building right next to the Stone Avenue underpass, and they were putting the bicycle route through that, and they were just going to demolish it. And I met with Tim Tamir personally, and he found the money to move it, and it got placed along the pedestrian park. So
no, I remember that. I remember that. We could maybe refer to that, and that would maybe it would make a difference.
Right. I think
yeah.
Do that, and then I'm as a private citizen, I'm going to really camp out, I guess, at the office. I've been trying to get on an appointment in a whole other situation, mm-hmm. and so I think it needs to go to the city manager and the mayor. And just say, let's not go back to the bad old days. Let's do something right here and just leave the bathhouse up and mark the swimming pool appropriately in another manner.
Well, if JJ is going to make this motion, I'll expect her to draft some things, and then you could provide some information to JJ. So we really do need to move on. So,
I would like to make a motion that the commission draft a letter of advocacy for the Santa Rita Bathhouse project, or Santa Rita Bathhouse,
right.
And its preservation.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, is there any discussion? Okay. Could you call roll, please, Carla?
Yes. Alice and Doggy?
Hi.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
I'm sorry, I had to step away for most of this conversation, so I'm not going to vote. I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay. Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli? Kathy Kubisch?
Kathy, are you there? Did she leave?
No, she's still on. I'll call her back right now. Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Maro Trejo?
Mauro, are you there? I'm seeing him.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Aye. That's an aye.
Yes, thank great. You. Thank
Savannah,
you.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagyard?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
All right, so motion passes 16-1. One with the Courtney Marks.
That was an abstain, wasn't it?
But that abstains count as a nay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, or we could just say she was off the meeting for those, if we figured out the time period that she was off.
Yeah, and I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, you can look at that. Okay, I would suggest, JJ, that in drafting this, you reach out. There's some documents probably that, you know, the PRS LARs for this and the letter from the Historic Preservation Foundation and so forth can be provided and referenced. Okay, feel free to get it to me. Thank you. All right. Anything else, Steve? Of course, Steve, you were hijacked.
No worries. No, that's it for my report. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. Okay. 8D is Transportation Subcommittee, Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks, Terry. I'll just keep it short. I'll give an item and then maybe I'll circle back around to Commissioner Lamb and see if she has anything from the most recent RTA board meeting. But I wanted to go back. I don't know if I ever reported that the Major Streets and Routes Amendment was passed by Mayor and Council and without any modifications. So we're going to have to look at it sort of as a project level. The problem that we had with it was that it could create some really irregularities of setbacks in certain neighborhoods. And so the good thing is that the president of my neighborhood association is very aware of this, and so she's an excellent resource, and she will report to me if anything, any weird projects result as a result of that. But that plan amendment is good for the next 10 or 15 years. And then the big item is the August 6th City Council meeting. They ruled on the TEP poles. Those are the poles that could be as high as 135 feet. And there were three intersections in question. And just so everyone knows, the Campbell Scenic Gateway, that was off the table. So we were dealing with three intersections. And they sort of made a compromise. We got the Broadway and Euclid intersection, so that's not going to be affected by this, and that's the most historic area. The ones that are going to get the poles are Keno and 36th, and then Oracle and Grant. And so this is pretty much what we predicted, that if we had made a recommendation to just protect the most historic intersections or routes, that these poles would get shoved into lower income neighborhoods, regardless of the, you know, historic integrity. And so that was why we were, from the beginning, we were just recommending that the entire project be undergrounded. But so that's how it turned out. Now it's not over yet. I probably won't be reporting on this for a long time, but it's not necessarily over yet. They still have, exceptions, that they have to submit, I believe. So anyway, that's all I had on that. And then JJ, did you attend the most recent RTA board meeting?
No, I was unable to attend that, and I haven't been able to listen to it yet. So sadly, I don't have any updates, except that they're looking at doing a 10-year update. RTA next update, so that they complete the projects that didn't get completed in the original, and that there are some advocacy efforts that will be detrimental. But I don't want to go into that really until I'm able to listen to this last meeting.
Okay, thank you. Okay, are you done, Carlos, or should I call in Ken?
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, Ken?
I have a question for Carlos. Hi, Carlos. That the scenic corridor, is that still going to have underground work, or is it going a totally different direction?
I mean, as my understanding is, it moved over to Euclid. I mean, I could be wrong. It could, but either way, the scenic corridor on Campbell won't have poles.
Okay. I wondered where it still was going through.
I believe it's Euclid. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Great. Thanks very much, Carlos. Is that good? Are you good?
I'm finished. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Thank you. 8A is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
I apologize. I didn't watch that meeting this month. I didn't have time, but I'll catch everyone up on the next.
Okay. I'll just say no report. Okay. Thank you. Item 8F is Budget Subcommittee, and that's me reporting. I just want to alert the members, Commissioners Minor and Erickson, that I'll be contacting you soon for a meeting. It won't be until after the events next week, but it could be the following week. So I will reach out to you for, I have to collect some more information that I'm in the process. Well, I've requested it from different people that are sending in invoices. So it's a moving target, but just an alert that we will need to meet. And that would be good. Okay. Ken, did you have a question on that, or is your hand up first before? You're on mute, Ken.
That was from before. I didn't take it down. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I just don't want to miss you if you had a question. Okay. Item G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee. Commissioner Lamb.
Okay. I'll just remind everyone that one of our opportunities with our membership to the National Alliance of Preservation Commissions is their summer short course. That's August 20th and 21st. There's still some paperwork that needs to be submitted, but I just want to bring it to everyone's attention. So as soon as we get that paperwork filed, then we're going to ask for an email to be sent around. And so really consider setting aside some time to do this, and you can look at their website and see the great courses that they'll be presenting. And if you register, then if I remember correctly, then you can go back and watch it when you know, at your leisure, or watch it a second time. So anyway, watch for an email about that. And then this subcommittee will be meeting in September. So just watch for a doodle poll so that we can find a date.
Great. Those commissioners are on this. Thank you. And JJ, you and I need to get together ASAP on stuff with NAPC. So I haven't forgotten your request, but it sort of related to the budget thing. But I will, I'll try to contact you. Maybe tomorrow we can find 10 minutes to talk or something.
That sounds good. So,
yeah, let me know when you're available. All right. Let's see. Thank you. Item 8H is the Events Subcommittee. Well, a lot is happening. I hope that you all are planning to attend the events, at least some of the events that are listed for next week, this week, the following, going forward for quite a while. The Celebrate Tucson link that the commission has put together with the help of Ricky Riojas, former commissioner. We have a big team with Tucson Museum of Art, with the Presidio. The city and the county have been great working with us. And this will be an event, an August event, like no other that we've had in recent memory. So it is, it's the 23rd, which is a week from Saturday, starting at the Presidio, but going all the way down the streets to, Tucson Museum of Art. There'll be two stages with entertainment, lots of community partner tables and sponsor tables. So I think it's close to 50 tables. I mean, it's crazy. There is going to be a great event from, I'm trying to think of the time here. Check on the website, but I think it's like 6 to 10.
It's 6 to 10.
Yeah. And then I know that Commissioners Lamb will be there and some others, and you'll be minding your own store, but you might help at the welcome table where we will have volunteers. And I hope I can count on event subcommittee members. Is that, let's see, that would be JJ and Kathy Kubish. Kathy, you'll be there to help. And Gary Miner, will you help us again this year? Gary?
Yes.
Okay. And I will send you guys an email this weekend about when to help. And then, I could use another volunteer if you're interested. Send me another one or two volunteers. Send me an email. You all have my email, my various communications, because it's such a massive event. I want to be sure that commissioners who are helping out at the welcome table get a chance to look around, you know, so we would sort of check in and check out, and I can give you more information on that. But it will be really quite the event. Then on next Wednesday, the 20th, correct? That's August 20th at 4:30 p.m. They're going to have the opening of the Bicentennial Time Capsule at the Tucson Museum of Art. And I will be just saying a few remarks, welcoming everyone. The burying of a new time capsule is not going to happen at the same time. So I don't want to get into a big thing about that right now. I had asked Mauro and Ken to help with ideas on that, but I'll give you more information on when we know what that process will be for inviting stakeholders to make suggestions and things like that. So any questions about the, about next week? Ken, did you have something?
I could add a few things on this about the time capsule situation. The time capsule 50 years ago when it was put in, it was to be opened at one time 100 years, and then they changed it to 50 years, so the time capsule is being opened. But they spent a whole year, so we've got a whole year to figure out what we want to put in. And I talked to the Museum of Art that they'd like to put what we unearth next week on display, and maybe the Historical Society Library might want to have some of those for a while. Then I would suggest putting all this back in with new things and setting in for another 50 years. The other thing that's interesting, and I found this out from doing a little research, we have a bicentennial baby. Her name is Leah Davis. And I was able, thanks to the help of other people, and Morrow's been involved with a lot of this whole project too, is that she's going to be in attendance. And there's a picture of her with Lou Murphy when he's blowing out the candles on the cake when she's about 9 or 10 months old. It's a really interesting picture. So I want to know that the people to know that you got to go to the bicentennial event, and our bicentennial baby is going to be in attendance. And I hope she's going to be sort of a special guest of honor. So.
Yeah. So we're not in control, obviously, of that, of what happens at the event. But it starts 4:30. If you look at the link, there'll be details on the Celebrate Tucson thing, all the different calendar events, if anything changes or whatever. So thank you for that. Anyway, then another thing I wanted to ask Kathy and Ken about is that we're likely to have, we're going to have an award subcommittee meeting. Again, we can't, it's just, there's too much going on to have it before next week. But if we need to think of dates in October. So I wanted to ask you to start looking at the best weekends for a Saturday or Sunday. Don't make any commitments to anyone. Just send me the dates that you think would be good to discuss, okay? So that we don't just start that process when we have a subcommittee meeting, okay? All right, thank you. Great, thanks. Item 8I is preservation awards. I just sort of mentioned that, so we'll move that over to there. So assignment for Ken and Mauro to get back to – not Ken and Mauro, Ken and Kathy to get back to me. All right. Item J is our newest working group, the Pima County Historic Preservation Policies and Procedures Working Group. And I guess we'll have Helen and JJ report on that. And I did speak with Helen last night, and they were going to bring up a change in name, but we're going to discuss that further at their next meeting this Friday. And so JJ and Helen, I will get that after our meeting today, I will get that agenda and the last meeting LAR in for posting. So we're fine on time. It's just that there wasn't enough time before this meeting for me to get that organized with work. So would you like to give us a report on your first meeting?
Yes, JJ and I are going back and forth chairing meetings, so I chaired this first meeting. The things that were, aside from the name question, that we're going to reconsider again on Friday, that one of the concerns was that this group would not duplicate the work of any other subcommittee. And I think the real question was with landscapes and transportation. But since I'm on transportation and as I'm on landscapes and Carlos, who is part of this group, is on transportation, I think we can get that sorted out. We also came up with a sort of focus for how we were going to work. We were going to work with sort of immediate issues, but also some long-term issues where we come up with very specific white paper or black paper, whatever you want to call this report, at the end of that project. The short-term project that we're working on right now, fortunately, Andrew Christopher has taken charge of part of that from the plans review subcommittee perspective, and of course Desiree has been dreaming about this, is to figure out what reviews can be done administratively so that we can sort of unclog the system with the reviews from the advisory boards. So once we have a tentative list, we will arrange a meeting with representatives of the advisory boards to make sure we're going in the right direction. And then reviews like, for example, will be able to be handled administratively rather than having people go out and look at the roof that is being replaced by an identical roof. At this point, Desiree, would you like to make a comment on this? Because that project is what we're dealing with immediately.
Go ahead. Yes, thank you, Commissioner Erickson. I don't think there's anything I would really add at this point, but just that, you know, currently our code doesn't allow for any type of staff-level reviews, which is highly unusual and I think unnecessary. I think, you know, certain, like Commissioner Erickson mentioned, there are certain review types, project types that are very common. And, you know, so we're going to be working with the commissioners and the advisory boards to figure out, you know, are there certain types of projects that as staff we can review and not kind of hold, you know, the stewards of our historic buildings, especially like, you know, people want to replace gutters or replace their roofs in kind, you know, things like that. So I look forward to working with everyone on this, and I thank the committee for taking this on.
Thank you, Desiree. And JJ, would you like to add comments here about our longer-term regional transportation policies? And yes.
Okay, I'll just say that, you know, transportation impacts everything, really. And I'm looking forward to really collaborating closely and supporting the transportation subcommittee. And I'll just leave it there.
Right. And what Terry had mentioned before with the Department of Transportation, I think that is an area that we can also start to integrate into this. Terry, would you like to comment on that?
Well, I just, you know, I unfortunately didn't attend the first meeting of the working group because I didn't have the agenda. It wasn't on my calendar. So I've been talking to Helen, and she in turn talked to JJ. I called Carlos because I was a little bit concerned about the items you had on the LAR, which hasn't yet been posted, but where you didn't want to step on the toes of any other subcommittees or working groups. But then when you had the transportation item as one of your goals, I wanted to see if Carlos was like, what was his take on that? And he was fine with it because the duties could be divvied up to be supportive of one another. Do you agree with that, Commissioner Lozano?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think we're good. I'm really excited about this group, and you know, I will try to attend whenever I can because I think I might have different perspectives, to add. So, but anyway, we will get the agenda up. So they're meeting this Friday at 1 p.m., I believe.
Right. I would like to add one more thing. This being a working group means that we can try out various solutions on each other in the working group without it being a formal policy proposal. And I think for that reason, we're going to make a lot of progress.
I think so, too. It's very similar to the hard work that both JJ and Helen put in on Pima Prospers and Plan Tucson, and also with the help of city and county staff. And that was amazing, all the stuff that got done on those things. So, and, you know, the full commission would hear about policy and procedures recommendations, you know, so this will be very positive. So thank you, everyone, on that and the hard work. All right. So item 9 is City of Tucson Silverbell Road Widening Project. This is a 404 violation. We haven't really had an update on this for a while, and I don't think Corin or Dan are on the meeting. Am I correct?
That's correct. And Chair Majewski, you can probably add my name instead of Corin and Dan to that. I can be giving updates as we move forward. There's not any big update right now. We are working with Pima County to transition the oversight of the cultural resources management obligation related to this project from Pima County, who has been overseeing that, to the City of Tucson. So we're looking at a transfer date of October 1st. Related to this, we have hired a compliant cultural resources compliance manager. His name is Jonathan Knighton Weiser, and he will be starting next Monday, the 18th. So it's good timing to begin to work on that, the transfer of our contracts related to the cultural resources management. But other than that, I don't have any updates.
Okay. I Desiree, I had a note to myself to ask you to sort this out with Gordon and Dan so we could get regular reports on this, what's happening. And if you could send me just, when you get a chance, the spelling of Jonathan Knightenweiser's name. And when does he start?
On the 18th. Next Monday.
Starts 9/18. And hopefully you can introduce him at a meeting in the future.
Yeah.
So, okay, that would be great. Thank you very much. Okay, item 10 is ASM permitting and policy updates. Ian, can you squeak a few more things in, or have you had to leave?
Nope, I'm still here. So the as a result of this, just to remind you, they did a notice of intent to raise fees that went out for a public comment period, and then there was a pretty long pause. Then it came out with a response to public comments, which is available on ASM's website. Not much came out of there. It was pretty dismissive in terms of much of the comments, including the county's comments with regards to our stewardship obligations. But subsequent to that, they also provided examples of the new costs in taking an old project, checking different boxes, one site, non-collection survey, so forth, and showing what the old fee schedule would be to the new fee schedule. And this is important to recognize that I'm going to tell you what the percentage increase was for each of these activities, but they are driven by the labor associated with ASM staff processing the permits and processing the processes that ASM undergoes for each activity. So, for example, the example monitoring project they gave was originally valued at $1,290. Now that same project under the new fee structure would be 162% increase, which is going to be $3,400 roughly. Now, while that doesn't sound like a lot of money, when you multiply that across all of the projects that the county, for example, or the city would do in a year, a lot of that is really hard to budget in because now we have a activity that had more predictability in terms of a budget, and now it's a significant cost associated with our activities. Non-collection survey, we're looking at an 87% increase. Testing and excavation, a 74% increase. And even a burial discovery agreement is now a 90% increase. The increase that you really need to consider is that the rates of ASM staff are increasing by 300%. So what was an FTE that was charging out $35 to $40 an hour is now $105 to $115 an hour. And the justification is that is they're forced, their words, to really adopt ASM, or sorry, the University of Arizona's compensation classification program. But that's actually, you know, if that's the case, that's all coming through ABOR and it's all self-inflicted. It's not something that's being forced on them. And while we have no objection to people getting fair compensation and benefit packages, those costs are being borne by fully by the project proponent rather than absorbed by the University of Arizona that receives state funding. And so it's kind of a double dip scenario. So to bundle this all up, Pima County's very concerned, our county administrators are concerned specifically for our department in the activities that we do on our conservation lands. I leave it up to the commission on whether the commission would like to kind of insert itself in the repercussions that this could have in resource stewardship, because it is going, I use the word disincentivize, the other word is discourage. We, Pima County, will continue to do the great work that we've been doing for, you know, decades, but it's going to be difficult to fully comply with the Antiquities Act when there is no project budget to cover these costs, which means that the same course of action may occur that gets back to the original intent of the Antiquities Act. It's just that information may not be able to be curated with the Arizona State Museum if there is no funds to do so. And then you get disconnected records. And so it has a compounding effect that is for consideration. I don't know exactly what's going to transpire. We are going to send our letter. Then the next step is ASM decides whether it takes it to an ABOR hearing. And at the ABOR hearing, ABOR would ultimately have to bless the fee proposal to move forward. Our county administrator plans to respond to ASM and then plans to draft a letter to ABOR at this point if this continues to go. But in all likelihood, we just it's probably inevitable, but it behooves, I think, all of us to start thinking about the impacts it's going to have.
Well, Ian, I mean, certainly this affects city projects as well.
It does.
Correct. It does. And so, yes. You know, I hope you've been talking with Desiree about that, because several HPOs ago, you know, I was asking them about some of these fees and they were unaware of the fees. Not you, Desiree, yeah. But previous ones. And it was like, what? And so, you know, if any consultant bid on that and didn't put those fees in that they did not control, you know, it was just a nightmare. So, and these projects increased. They were so simple. I'm going to make something up like a sidewalk survey. It would end up costing like $10,000, which is ridiculous.
Correct. You know, and here's the other thing. We ran one of our projects. Actually, we ran four of our projects through this new matrix. So we have very small, discrete projects like a cattle guard replacement, for example, that has a total cost value of maybe $1,500. In order to do the due diligence of just ASM fees, even before you get a consultant on board, it's $1,800. So now it's doubling the project cost at minimum without even getting a consultant on board to record that activity and comply with the Antiquities Act. So I don't know how you do a $15 cattle guard replacement with a $8,000 cultural resource budget that has to go on top of that for a survey.
Well, that's not fair. That's kind of like a programmatic activity that could, but I think,
correct.
So what is your time frame on this so that if we don't have a motion today, I'd like to see your letter. I'm happy. I think it would be great, but would it be too late to do it after the September meeting, or do you want us to have a motion on it now?
No. Unfortunately, ASM's deadline is next week. And so I'm scrambling to get a draft for county administrator review that she can send it out this week. I'm happy once that letter gets authorized to send the commission a copy. And just because the public comment period is closed does not mean I think that it is closed for discussion, because it needs to go to ABOR. And so ABOR can consider public comments at any time. That's what happened in 2018. So I think we have some time, but I know that the commission doesn't meet until in September. I don't expect it to go to ABOR until probably early winter at the rate these things go. So I think we have some time.
Or we could do a quick motion and just say that when it's appropriate to write this letter, Terry will work with Ian on this. Or something like that, like on the schedule. So does somebody want to make that? I just don't want it to slip by, because I have to propose that we're moving the date of the September meeting. So I don't want to make it late. You know what I'm saying? So who would make a motion to that effect?
This is Blake. I'll make a motion to that effect.
Okay. No, basically, is that everyone understand what the motion would be, to write a letter to ASM and ultimately to the, to ABOR? In regard to these price increases. Okay, so
I'll
Blake.
I'll even help, Terry.
Okay, great. Okay, so let me. So Blake, and then who will second?
Helen.
Okay, thank
you. This is Kathy. I'll second.
Yeah, we already got Helen first. So is there any discussion? Okay. Thank you. If no discussion, let's go ahead and call the roll, please.
Okay. Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carla Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
JJ Lam?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Motion passes 17-0.
Great, thank you. So basically, let's just stay in touch about this, Ian, and I will also bring Blake into it to help with things, but we want to see your letter, and that would be good. Thank you. So anything else to add to that, or are you good?
Nope, that's it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Item 11 is update on City of Tucson and Pima County preservation programs and processes. 11 is City of Tucson. And you already mentioned the new person, your compliance person.
Yes, and we do have Jason Lilienthal here. He's our historic preservation lead planner. So he will be joining myself and Michael Taku. Jason, are you there? You go. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Okay. Thank you, Desiree. If everyone can hear me.
You're a little bit low. If you want to just increase your volume.
Try to put the microphone closer to my mouth, or if that makes a difference.
That's, I think, a little better. Go ahead, Jason. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, as Desiree mentioned, I am started out as a historic preservation planner, and I think I'm in my fourth week now. I have attended several board meetings, so I have met several of you already at those board meetings. So I'll say briefly that I'm originally from Santa Fe, New Mexico, born and raised there. And then I moved to Texas, where I spent the last 12 and a half years. I went there for graduate school, did a master's in history with graduate certificates in historic preservation and urban planning. And then while I was done with all that, I began working with the City of Houston Planning Department Office of Preservation, where I spent the last 5 years doing that. Before I was with the City of Houston, I also did volunteer work with the City of San Antonio's Office of Historic Preservation. So it is a pleasure to be back in the desert Southwest. I certainly do enjoy being back in the dry air, seeing mountains, adobe construction, and I look forward to working with all of you in the future.
Thank you, Jason. We're excited to have you on board as well. great introduction. So let's see, anything else you wanted to add, Desiree?
No, nothing else to add. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. 11B is Pima County. Ian or Courtney, do you want to add anything on processes and so on?
Yeah, I've got two things. At the last Board of Supervisors meeting, the board approved an advisory council for the advisory board for the Conservation Lands and Resources Department. That board is not going to be driven in terms of oversight, but more as a resource for the department in terms of setting goals and priorities each year. It is going to be seated with people from various scientific disciplines, including historic preservation and cultural resources, biology, recreation, education, so forth. Most importantly, the Board of Supervisors is reaching out to both the Pascoyaki and the Tana'atham to have a tribal representative of each of those constituencies represented on the board. So the board itself has been constituted, but the people that will be seated on the board, that is going to be going on the September meeting for the board. And so I will be able to update you and provide you a list of those members as soon as they are seated. In addition to that, we've been working diligently on our mission and vision for our department and our strategic plan. I don't have anything to present today, but at a subsequent meeting, I'd be happy to share that with you. As part of that, we've been talking about the reorganization that's happening within our office. So, Carla, we are officially now, for everyone's sake, the Cultural Resources and Historic Preservation Office of the Conservation Lands and Resources Department. And in that office is not just the two programs of preservation management as well as compliance, but now we have we've had a new group added on to us that is environmental planning and compliance. So think NEPA and that realm of staff that is going to be joining our office to synthesize the compliance aspect of the county for NHPA and NEPA reviews moving forward. And I will have more on that as we move forward because I have a new kind of organizational chart that I'm hoping, as soon as HR gives me the blessing, I could share in September.
Okay, Ian, I have a quick favor because on everything that I see that comes out from various things on the commission, I try to make sure that when you, Courtney, Scott are listed, that the correct designation is there. It's not just Pima County Cultural Resources, but yeah. I think it's been kind of a moving target. So yeah. Do I keep the current, what's currently correct, do I keep that there until you advise me?
No, so in order to, we wanted to be more progressive and really bring heritage into our name, but what was clear in the constituencies that we work with, and as part of this realignment, it is clear that people understand that our office is the equivalent of the county, of the State Historic Preservation Office, the Tribal Historic Preservation Office. And so with county administration, even though we are seated in Conservation Lands and Resources Department, we have a unique role that's countywide, which is why office is appropriate. So now we are the Pima County Cultural Resources and Historic Preservation Office, going back to our roots of 2008. And so that office has been reconstituted, but still seated under Conservation Lands and Resources. You don't need the Conservation Lands and Resources on agenda or to reference us. Strictly the Pima County Cultural Resources Historic Preservation Office is appropriate.
Okay, Pima County Cultural
Resources and Historic Preservation Office.
Okay, I was trying to write, and I don't do very good shorthand. Okay, so right. Have you updated your
yes.
Your blocks?
Yes, we've updated it. We have new titles that are pending, but we have been authorized to use the working titles. So I am the Historic Preservation Officer. Courtney is the Cultural Resources Preservation Manager. And Scott is the Historic Preservation Manager.
Okay, well, I'll, Courtney, could you just send me an email with all this new info so that I'm sure that it goes, it's correct, because it trickles down into all sorts of legal action reports and gives me anxiety. Thank you.
Yeah, no. We'll put it all in one email so you have it.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. Desiree had her hand up. Desiree, did you want to say what you put in the chat? I can't. I'm sorry, I missed you.
Oh, sure. Sorry. And it's not related to this agenda item, but it's just responding to an earlier question about the Activate El Presidio project.
You can go ahead and mention it.
So there was a question about its temporary nature and, you know, when that would sunset. So according to the approved design package, the Activate El Presidio project would be reevaluated every 3 years. So 3 years after implementation. And it says that it would be evaluated per area to understand if they impacted the historical context and sense of place.
Great. Well, thank you.
Carrie?
All right.
Carrie?
Yeah, go ahead, please, because we're running out of time. So go ahead.
Well, I have to run to a doctor's office. I'm going to probably be late now. I just want to tell you I'm leaving the meeting. And
perfect. Okay.
Okay. So one property house continues to be a concern. That's city owned and the county has an easement on. So I've got to take off now.
Okay, so you're off at 126. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Okay. So did you get that, Carla? He's off at 126.
Yes, I got it down.
Okay, sorry, there's too much going on here at the end.
And Terry, that completes my report. I got nothing else.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, so we can just say for item 12, monitoring and preserving historic buildings, that, you know, Ken reported, like, briefly, under 60 seconds. okay, item 13 is Commissioner's summary of current events. If anyone has something to share, please raise your hand. I just want to share that. I really encourage you to come to the event, any of the events next week or in the surrounding weeks that pertain to the 250 plus. It's very, a lot of work has gone into this, and I think it will be a great event. Okay, so item 14 is called to the audience. Carla or Anna, do we receive any comments by the posted deadline?
No, haven't received anything.
Okay, thank you. Item 15 is thoughts on inclusivity. I put this down for discussion item if we had time. This is what Commissioner Erickson made a lovely statement at the July 2025 meeting about you know, some thoughts on what we should be thinking about for a new narrative for American history. And I would like to invite all subcommittees to think how, in working groups, how they can consider this in their work. And I think we've done this in a lot of ways. I mean, just our work over the years with what used to be the birthday celebration, and with increased sensitivity toward the meaning of that word, Tucson's birthday, you know, the event has changed significantly over the years. And so that's a hard sell because people are so used to certain things. And, you know, how do you still tell, approximate the truth of history, which that's hard to do, but to at least consider the different viewpoints in history is critical. I'll never forget when a Tucson City Council person said to me, "Can't we just pretend that one fact never happened?" I'm like, "No, no, we can't, because we know it for, you know," and it was really disheartening to me that people think that you can just pretend certain things never happened. Shockingly. So I think I'll keep this here for a while, and we'll, you know, I think when we have things to bring up, we'll definitely do that. But that's a great statement, Helen, and thanks for, I hope it incites as much thought for all of you as it has for me. All right, item 16. Yeah.
Here. Yeah, I do just one.
What? Okay,
ahead.
One at a time. Go ahead. Go ahead, Helen.
Okay. I just wanted to say that we have to recognize that our historic diversity narrative is being threatened by the current efforts of the National Administration to impose one triumphalist generic narrative on the entire country. And in doing so, basically submerge our individual regional narrative. And there are two things I think we have to be aware of here. Number one, we can pretend that that's some completely off-the-wall different thing that we have no connection to, that we have no connection to the Declaration of Independence or anything. In other words, pretend we don't have a national government. Or the other pitfall, which is sort of related, is to let our history be siloed, our narrative be siloed, and disconnected from the concept that we are part of the United States. And so I think both of these possibilities are things we need to deal with now, because number one, we don't want to have that triumphalist national narrative that ignores us. And at the same time, we want to be sure that the narratives and multiple narratives of southeastern Arizona are still in front of people. So I think in a way this is sort of a crisis time for us to really think about our diverse narratives and what they mean. So that's my sermon for today.
Well, thank you, Helen. I mean, this is more than just the commission. It's all of us as individuals. It's those of us in our roles as teachers, volunteers, museum, you know, directors or employees or whatever. I mean, it's very important. Yeah, and it's not something the commission can solve, but we can all stay abreast of it and further our discussion. I'm sure Helen will have a new missive for us next month. Now, hopefully you will, Helen. So,
okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
I put it out, so I'll give it to you.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah, send me this one too. Thanks. Item 16 is schedule and future agenda items. With the current schedule, we're scheduled for September 10th. I would need all agenda items by no later than August 29th. I will have to reschedule the September 10th meeting for September 17th. And what I'll do is send you all an email like I've done in the past. And if you respond to me quickly, because if we don't have a quorum of 12, it will be problematic. Okay. So, that's that. So anything that we want, you know, to put on the agenda that's not currently on here, please let me know. Okay. So, any comments on that before we adjourn? Okay, if not, we will adjourn at 1:33, and I hope to see you all next week at the different events. And so, Carla and Ann, if you could stay on for just a second, and okay. Then everybody else can leave. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Good meeting.
Thank you. Sure. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Jerry. Bye.